You are on board with the number one A-League podcast available on iTunes. It is the Football Sack. I'm your host, Jack Quigley. With me, as he always is Christian Leyland. Welcome back to the studio, Christian.
Thank you, Jack. Exciting times.
It is exciting times for the league as a whole because, well, we thought it was going to be even more exciting, but unfortunately, Boz's big day has become a fizzer.
Devastated.
Yeah, it's
ouch.
I am really actually disappointed. I think that a lot of people wanted to see Bozza on the sidelines. I genuinely did because I wanted to see what he would actually bring to the role other than just talk and apparently being an expert. For those of you who haven't heard, and it will be a lot of you because we genuinely are often the first to hear news. And
obviously
broadcast it via the podcast.
That's how awesome we are.
The North Queensland Fury, of course, had Franz Straka banned from the touchline for one match. Mm-hmm. They then approached Fox Sports' Mark Bosnich to coach the side to for this game. Made him a trainer at the club, and he would take Franz Straka's spot on the sidelines for their match against the Jets tomorrow night.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, tomorrow night against the Jets. It sounds pretty good in theory.
Yeah. Good publicity stunt.
Very
should
nice.
Should get some people through the gates. Mm-hmm. You know, people who love or hate Bosnich. Either way, you'll be watching that game for sure to see how he goes. Put his money where his mouth is. And the FFA have jumped all over it because the fun police have said, no, we're not going to let you do that, which is frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, it is a little bit. FFA, is that Football Fun Authority or something, the fun police?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's what FFA stands for. I'm just a little disappointed because I think this was just a... basically, it was a free way of building publicity for a midweek game that, you know, midweek games struggle to attract crowds. Mm-hmm. People have other things to do on weeknights after work. But here was a chance for some... A freebie was handed to the FFA to boost crowds for an A-League game, and they said no thanks.
They said no thanks, yeah. It's crazy because, like, you know, he probably wasn't really going to do too much. You know?
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, we've all heard him on Fox Sports. You know, it's just... It would have been a good publicity stunt. It would have actually got people to the game. And honestly, even if it only got one extra person, it would have been worth it.
It's one extra person who won't be going. It's annoying because we were laughing about it when they said it, because apparently as a trainer, you're not allowed to take your place on the bench. That's not your area. Your area is training.
That's the official FFA line, isn't it? Yes.
The strange thing about this line is, of course, that we've said on this show before that there is an arrangement with Gold Coast United, with Miron Blyberg and their supporters club, The Beach, that if at any point they get 3-0 up in a game, one of the members of The Beach comes and takes Miron's spot on the bench and he goes and stands in the stand with the supporters club. So apparently, if you go to an A-League game, you are more likely to end up on the bench as a member of the general public than as a trainer of one of the sides competing in said match.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the worst thing is, it's actually true.
Yes, that's right. We're not taking the piss here. This is the FFA's stance on who's allowed on the pitch.
Yeah, that's it. The official stance is if you're a fan in the supporters club,
with the club, you could walk in through the gates just because you'd accidentally taken a wrong turn into this stadium. You've poked your head out to see that there's a football game going on. Someone says, hey, you, come sit on the bench, and you can, and you're allowed to.
Yes.
But if you've spent all week training with those players and preparing them for the game and helping them set tactics...
You've got bucklers.
Get the hell out of that. Oh, gee,
nerve.
Oh, the nerve. Who are you? So I must say that that's a bit of a fizzer, and I'm a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, no, I will. He was going to be mic'd up and everything, wasn't he?
That's right. He was going to listen. Yeah. I really was looking forward to it. I'll watch the game anyway because the Jets, there's a lot of momentum about the Jets at the moment. We announced that their new sponsor they had is great for the community. Mm-hmm. They're opening the gates for their match against Melbourne Heart next Sunday.
That's right. First 10,000 people
for free. First 10,000 people will walk through the gates for free and you might end up on the bench.
Who knows?
You've got more chance than one of the trainers. And, of course, they've just announced this week that they'll be hosting the LA Galaxy featuring David Beckham.
exciting times.
So Nathan Tinkler continues to do fantastic things. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show, what was Con doing for such a long period of time where you just heard nothing out of the Jets? Because Tinkler's been in the job for less than a month now, and it's been all good news and all fantastic noise out of the club.
Well, let's give it kind of a bit of credit. We didn't hear nothing. We did hear a lot of whinging.
Yes, that's true, yes. Touche, yeah, that's right. He made plenty of noise. He was making the wrong kind of noise. Yes, yeah. Yes.
It's strange because, with Con in charge, the club only had big crowd numbers when they were winning. Hopefully with Nathan, they get big crowd numbers no matter what the occasion. They can turn into a sort of a Mariners sort of mindset.
You know what I mean?
They want to be part of the community, and it's looking that way. So
yeah, just make it part of your habits to go and watch the Jets. Mm-hmm. The other big news, we should also mention, whilst on the topic of the Jets, they've had former England international Franny Jeffers trialling with them, who scored his one and only international goal against the Socceroos in our 3-1 win at Upton Park in 2003. In that match, a certain youngster made his debut for England. It was Jeffers' debut as well, but a youngster who went on to bigger things, let's say that. Wayne Rooney made his debut. His saga finally came to an end. And unfortunately, Manchester United just pipped Perth Glory.
Tip of the nose.
To his signature. He's more trouble than he's worth anyway.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I think he probably asked to play for the Glory, and Tony Sage said no.
Look, you're going to bring the wrong mentality to club.
That's right. And we don't even know if you can play long ball. which is the tactic that Ian Ferguson is bringing. You tweeted a quote from his, and I'll read it out here for those of you who don't follow us on Twitter. We played too many balls to feet last week, and we'll be looking to change that this week.
I couldn't believe it when I heard
coming into the match against Sydney FC, who hadn't had a win all season, and proceeded to walk into Members Equity Stadium and walk away with a 3-0 win.
So, Ian Ferguson's obviously working for you. That's all I can say.
He hopes they're making an absolutely heroic charge down the ladder.
they really are.
That's... Relentless fight against victory, not Melbourne.
it's all a little bit crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you, the Wayne Rooney stunt was quite clever, though.
Oh, yeah. Did you see Norm Sekulowski walk in with a photocopied face and Ferguson saying we'll get a new signing. We've paid $3 trillion for him.
Yeah, $42 trillion. Yeah,
which was silly because he only had 18 months on his contract. You could have got him for free if you just waited out. This is why A-League clubs are struggling. It's just poor
paying
management.
$42 trillion when you all you had to do was wait 12 months, you could have signed him.
You could have got him for £15 million at a panic buy, and you've gone out and said $42 trillion. No wonder Ferguson took that. The other news for the A-League, which is big news, is that Sydney Rovers look as though they will definitely not be taking part in next season's competition, which I think is a good thing. They're obviously not ready. We don't want to throw them in if they're not ready. It was like the opposite of when Gold Coast United were building up to take part in the league. They were saying, we're coming, here we come, look at us. Whereas Rovers are sort of saying, it's like the kid who forgets something for their project at school, and whilst everyone's sort of presenting theirs, they're secretly underneath the desk trying to fiddle things together, like a pipe cleaner and a paddle pop stick, and they're saying, just a minute, don't look yet, just a minute.
So it's kind of like when Dave rings up and says, oh boy, he's ready for the podcast, like, oh yeah, we're just on our way now.
Yes, that's right, like we did this morning. Both of us. I texted Dave saying I'll be there in 10 minutes, and he texted saying Christian's just texted and said the same thing. So we appreciate Dave's patience.
Yeah, no, very nice.
I think this is a good thing, do you?
Yeah.
We don't want to throw them to the wolves before they're ready.
No, definitely. I think we're taking a leaf out of the MLS's book here. Yeah, they have a very hard stance with new clubs where everything has to be 100% set in place before they actually let them into the club. They're not rushed in any way.
I believe that's the way it should be.
That's right. That's the way it should be, because otherwise you will get financially stricken clubs or clubs with no crowds.
Yeah.
If they're not done properly, if not promoted properly, if they don't have the security, the backing, then it's just not going to happen. So don't even bother.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's turn our attentions to the weekend's matches just played. We will go into our review process.
Mm-hmm. Our process.
Our first game of the night, or of the weekend, was Adelaide United continuing to impress and really looking the goods. A 3-0 win over the Wellington Phoenix, who can't win away from home, no matter how hard they try. And it was a mad 5-minute period. Sergio van Dijk, Marcos Flores, Travis Scott, Dodd. Not Travis Godd, he's a very good player.
Mm-hmm. But he's not just quite fair.
Yes, he's Travis Dodd. It's funny, Travis Dodd, when his name, and Carl Dodd for that matter, when their name is capitalized on the back of their shirts, it just looks like 0000 with the font that the FFA uses. Or it looks like his name's Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be good because it'd be like when fans used to say Rude when Rude van Nistelrooy would score. Yeah.
He'd just get the ball and the whole crowd just goes Ooh.
Yeah, when Dodd scores, the crowd would just Ooh. Scored all in the 70th, 72nd, and 76th minutes respectively, which was very exciting for me, having turned on at about the 69th minute of the game and being told to turn it off again at about the 77th minute of the game.
So you watched about 10 minutes and saw all the goals?
Yeah, if really? 10 minutes, yeah, yeah, and saw 3 goals, which was great. Yeah. And 11,000 people there.
Yeah, cool.
Over 11,000, which was great to see down in Adelaide.
Yeah, no, it was quite a good game, interesting game. Wellington were, it was pretty even the first half. You'd probably say Wellington probably just had the edge, but yep. Then Adelaide just came out and, you know, just class, really. It just came out, blew them away in a 3-minute period. They looked like scoring for 10 minutes before that. They're hammering the goal.
I think they're just a very good side.
Yes, they are.
And I think they're just a very complete unit. They'll have to do, unfortunately, without... they didn't have Matthew Leckie for the game, mm-hmm. but they'll have to do without him and Travis Ooh for the next game, who are both out with injuries, or doubtful, very we should nice. Say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looks unlikely that they'll play.
Well, Dodd, I think, is pretty much definitely out. He's an Achilles strain.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Leckie with the knee problem. He's a bit 50-50, so we'll see what happens. Is this going to be Travis Dodd's new name on the podcast now? Just every time we mention him, it's going to be Travis Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, he'll okay. catch on, and it'll be like Branko's
Chalina
and Jason Chalina.
Yeah, awesome.
Our pet name podcast. let's move on because Adelaide continue to cruise at the top of the table. Mm-hmm. Not Robbie, no.
Yeah,
we'll get to him later. Yeah, he's got a good goal, didn't he?
He did.
We'll
he
talk
did.
About that when we get to the Raw game. Our next game, which is one I think it's fair to say we should gloss over, was Melbourne Heart and Gold Coast United.
Okay, yeah.
I did see the highlights when Bruce Jetté had an effort sort of that went over the bar. And
yeah,
then,
that's about it.
So. And then I think Rutger Worm had quite a good bending effort that
Yes.
it saved? Or I think it went wide, actually.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah. Mm. But they were the highlights. So 6,000 people there. Yeah, which is okay. not bad,
not,
really.
Not their worst crowd.
Not their worst crowd, and hopefully it shows that those 6,000, I'd like to think, being Melburnians, who tend to be this way, will be there each week, they can build on that for the bigger games.
That's right. It's a bit of a shame, I think, that, nothing against Gold Coast, but, you know, that the Hearts' first game after their sellout blockbuster against Victory was against the Gold Coast. Like, if it had been against probably like an Adelaide or a Sydney... a more traditional side, so to speak.
Yeah.
They really could have probably hit double figures again.
Yeah.
But, hopefully, look, honestly, 7,000, not 6,000, not a bad crowd.
Yeah,
so.
good little contingent of Gold Coast fans made their journey down
Or actually all 15 of them. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, they took their entire supporter base down and filled up a quarter of a bay.
Yeah, no, it was actually kind of funny, but, like,
we feel sorry for the Gold Coast United fans because the two or three that there are genuinely good fans of their club, really get behind their team.
Well, we went there, we had a good time with them and stuff. It's we do feel sorry for them. It's not going to stop us making a joke.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We're making more jokes of the people who don't go.
Yeah, no, it's true.
But in doing so, we need a vehicle, and the vehicle for those jokes is the people who do go, or the few of them. Mm-hmm. Let's move further up the coast than the Gold Coast. We go to Brisbane for the Saturday night match, and I'm loving watching the Brisbane Roar at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're really terrific to watch. Melbourne Victory, not a bad side to watch either. Hernandez impressed. I thought he was good on a losing side. Mm-hmm. It was a 2-1 win to the Roar. 9,500 people there, which continues to be disappointing because there is potential for so much more. Mm-hmm. I mean, we say everything is relative. We're happy with 6,000 in Melbourne. But yes. We're not happy with 9,500 in Brisbane. I just think 9,500, 10,000 is a good football club crowd in Australia. Well, mm-hmm. it's very good if you look back to the NSL. Yes, if you'd offered us 9.5 then, you'd take it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Suncorp is too big. There's too many empty tiers above that lower tier.
Yeah.
It'd be great if they played in a smaller stadium, but with as good of viewing facilities. But they will be in December. They're having a game at Ballymore.
They are.
Against the Glory.
Against the Glory, yes. It's kind of strange, though, because on Wednesday, the Wednesday match, which they obviously beat Central Coast Mariners 2-0 in a complete complete domination.
Yeah, it should have been a lot more. Yeah.
It was that was the lowest crowd they've ever had.
I think it was about 4 or something.
It was five,
was it? Yeah.
5.5. That was a Wednesday night match. And actually, for that, which was the Jets, they had a tick under 11,000.
Oh, okay.
That was with all the under 15s.
That was
in for
it.
Free.
I knew there was some promotion for it. Yeah,
and I was there, and there was a lot of kids there.
Well, that's
so
good.
I'm not sure how many actually paying customers there were.
Yeah,
but so to get 9,500
all paying, yeah,
that's not bad.
That is okay, really. Yeah.
Again, hopefully something to build on. You know, the crowds have, apart from the Wednesday night match, the crowds have been getting bigger every game. And as long as they keep playing good football, and as long as they keep getting good results, by the end of the season they're going to be hitting the 15,000-20,000.
Yeah, that's right. Well, finals football in Brisbane always catches the fever as well too. They'll be cracking that 20 if they get finals football. And
that's right.
If they were to host a grand final there, I wouldn't have any second thoughts that they will sell out Suncorp Stadium.
That's right.
Which would be a terrific venue for a final.
It would be amazing. Yeah. As a Raw fan, I'm also wishing, but also as a football fan, I'd love to see a grand final in Brisbane.
Yes. That's
just
right.
Because the atmosphere would be electric.
I'd get a ticket if regardless of who was playing, because it would be one of those ones where you'd go and say, how good is this? We should build on this.
Just a quick thing. Just wrap up the game.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say we should actually talk about the match. Mitch Nichols opened the scoring, your favourite player.
It's kind of funny. He actually, until he scored the goal, he lost so much possession, it wasn't funny.
Someone tweeted, who might have been Pete that was tweeting the match.
I actually went and did a ninja tweet. I think this might be the one you're thinking about.
Where you said a Raw, good build up play by the Raw was spoiled by Mitch Nichols being on the field.
No, that wasn't me. No. Yeah. What I do is, commentator language is when they say Mitch Nichols, it actually means Brisbane Raw lose possession.
Oh, okay, right. It's cockney non rhyming slang.
Yeah, no, it was just so frustrating to watch all these good build-up play, and then even when it was just a simple, not even a 1-2, just a simple pass to a player 5 metres away, he put it like too far in front and the opposition could get it, or he'd put it behind. He just couldn't make the pass.
Yeah. Mitch Nichols now means loss of possession.
Yeah, it was like, okay.
It's cockney slang when they used to get pickpocketed. Mm-hmm. They'd go, oh, I've been Mitch Nichol'd.
It's just, not including this game, but 2 out of the last 3 games, he's actually played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not being fully biased. Yeah, I do give him credit when he plays
scoring
well.
On a quite regular basis.
He just stands at the far post and taps him in.
Yeah.
You get goals like that.
Work for Scott McDonald at Celtic. You got 2 golden boots to him.
But it's just frustrating to see a team trying to play pass and possession football when you got one player in the team who literally probably keeps 20-30% of the ball he gets. In saying that, I'm not going to say I wish he didn't score. The Raw, they played really well in the first half. I honestly thought when Cruz scored that cracking goal, the next 10 minutes after that, Victory Raw over them, I thought Raw are gone here.
Yeah.
The Raw are dead set. This is their third match in a week. You just look dead on their feet. Broish was sitting on the sideline just doing nothing because he was just buggered.
Yeah.
But then,
I like him. He's a good player.
He's a great player. He's a brilliant player. He wasn't literally sitting on the sideline. I'm just saying he was buggered.
Yeah, because he wasn't allowed to. The FFA said, "You're a player. You're not allowed on the bench. Get off."
that's totally cool. Anyway, so they're going to get completely run over. But then Luke De Vea, one of the runs of the season from a central defender, absolutely schooled Kevin Musket. I thought he was going to score himself, and then it flew to Sol Zano.
Oh, yes, of course. He sort of made the most brilliant run, great quick feet, and then thought, okay, should I put it to the left of the keeper? Oh, should I put it to the right of the keeper? Oh, do I go under the keeper? And by that stage, Adrian Lea had already made the challenge to take the ball off him.
It was unfortunate for Lea to, just for the ball actually kind of landed in front of Solzano.
Yeah,
in the
that's
rebound.
Right. Great challenge, but well, fair play, Solzano followed it up.
Yeah, well, like people said, yeah, it was an easy tap-in. It wasn't a tap-in at all.
No,
you
smashed know, it.
He smashed it, left footed into the top corner. Yeah. Only just missed the keeper. You know, like, yeah. Keeper on my side, it was a great finish.
Yeah.
And you can see what Ange Postecoglou had been talking about, because apparently he's phenomenal.
Just poaches, yeah. We said on last week's show that Costa Barbarossa continues his good build-up play, but it keeps breaking down. And I said he's got looks like David Villa, except he doesn't score.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, I think Raw are hoping that's what Solzano will do when he gets fit, and he's back in the side and he scored. So,
I think it'll continue. Yeah, yeah. He's still not full fitness, but
they need just that genuine goal poacher, like you say, someone like Mitch Nichols standing at the back post to tap in, like Scott McDonald did in Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
On that topic, actually, I watched the Old Firm game on Sunday night, and Celtic up front now have Georgios Semeras and Gary Hooper, who they signed from Scunthorpe United.
Mm-hmm.
Who looks exactly like Scott McDonald. He's a midget, he wears long sleeves and white boots, he kind of looks like he's waddling when he runs, and he keeps scoring from inside the 6-yard box, and he scored the first goal of the game for Celtic the other night from a corner, came in, was flicked on at the near post, he chested it down and just tapped it in from a yard out, and you could have sworn it was Scott McDonald.
Yeah,
okay. Like, it's like he never left. So what they look for at Celtic now is they have like cutout stencils of players and they sign players that will fit those. Yeah.
It's like those things at theme parks. You know, you've got to be this tall to ride.
Right. Yeah, you have to be this shape to play centre forward for Celtic. And next to him is one that only Jan Venegar of Hessling and Georgios Samaras were able to walk through. And that's why they're playing alongside him.
I don't know. I got a soft spot for Samaras myself. He's just...
Well, he played at City. That's the only reason. He's quite rubbish apart from that.
I thought he had a good World Cup, actually. I think it's a soft spot. It's more the fact that, you know, at City, the fans loved him, but he just never got to play ex-striker. You know, he got signed to strike by Stuart Pearce, but he only ever played him like left or right midfield.
Yeah.
And you could just see he was so frustrated because he's not a midfielder.
No, he's quite slow. Yeah.
He's just so frustrated because he's like, I'm a striker. You know, I can finish and I can flick on and not give me the chance. But
he scored two brilliant goals against West Ham when he was at City. In a 2-1 win in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just two sensational finishes, and I thought this guy is great, and he wasn't.
Yeah. I think that's the game with the chant, "I feed the Greek and he will score," came about.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Anyway, that's not neither here nor there.
Yes.
So yeah.
Right. We should continue to move on with our A League review, which is what we are here to do. Our last match of the round was Perth Glory 0, Sydney FC 3. We spoke about it. 8,870 people turned up for it, and you know, well done any of those that come back.
Yes.
Because that was a drab performance.
It was dreadful. It's you don't really know what to say apart from, you know, like, it's changing.
Well, what I want to know is Ian Ferguson's now coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Mitchell is director of coaching. We've already asked the question, what does a director of coaching do? What was he doing sitting up there in the stand when he could see it was all going wrong? And what will he bring to Ferguson to change? Because I don't know if... There's just no spark in that side at the moment. They're totally flat.
Yeah, and, it's crazy.
We received a lot of correspondence from Perth fans who were very angry and sort of saying, you know, they just want more passion. They want their boys to well, be men instead of boys, really.
Yeah, that's it.
And fight a bit more.
It's kind of weird because, like, you know, their squad is not bad.
Yeah,
like,
well, the squad's very good, and they looked world beaters for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
But I can't think of any other reason that, you know, like I said, there's no passion in it, but it runs one of those teams where, you know, 80-90% of the players disagree wholeheartedly with a coach, but because they're under contract, they have to play.
Yes.
It's
well, the assistant coach walked away. he wasn't even prepared to continue his job when Ferguson got it, so...
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's not nice to see, is it?
Yeah.
It's, you know, I just... How long are Perth going to put up with these substandard coaches?
Yes.
That's what I'm, you know, from day dot in the A-League.
Yeah, they've never had a great coach.
A great coach. All they have to do is look at every single other side which has brought in a top coach.
They've had success.
That's it. Yeah. Adelaide already. They haven't lost a match since they brought in a top coach.
Yes, Levitska won the league.
In his first year. Fury, okay, they're not going great at the table. They're playing better football than they ever have, and everyone's loving it.
Yes.
Brisbane Roar.
I think that's the exception to the rule, actually, Brisbane Roar. Yeah, I think Postecoglou's been quite a rubbish coach over his years, but he's doing a fantastic job.
He's brought a great style of play to the game. You've got to give him that. The only real exception is kind of at the Heart. Results-wise. Yeah, they're trying to play good football. They're just not there yet. But I do think that is a long-term project and it will eventually happen for them. So I just don't understand why the Perth Glory can't learn from both their own lessons and the lessons of every other club. Yeah. And when they actually sacked Dave Mitchell, they had a brilliant chance to bring in an overseas coach or a top coach, a coach who will play a good style of football. Because you do get Australians like that, Ange Postecoglou and Branko Cilina.
Yeah.
Start anew, rather than taking a step
someone
backwards.
Like John Cosmina, who would go and shake things up a bit, get the guys a bit fired up. We saw he had that impact at Sydney. He came in, I don't think it was fair that Branko was shown the door there. I don't think he was given time, but Cosmina had that immediate effect. He galvanised that squad and was a bit unlucky as well to be shown the door, but then again, which Sydney coach hasn't been a little bit unlucky to be shown the door?
I think I'm pretty happy never to see Cosmina in the A-League again, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of his style of play or the attitude of the men, really. Apparently top bloke off the field, but it's and I don't doubt that. You know, he seems a genuine character, and I'm sure I'd get along with him.
Yeah.
Great. But just his methods seem outdated to me, that's all.
Okay, yep. Fair enough. Let's have a look at the table. We've got Adelaide United sit atop. Brisbane Roar 3 points behind. It's strange. I think quietly achieving is probably not the right way to say it because, you know, they are winning. There is a lot of noise about them. But everyone talks about how great Adelaide are doing and Brisbane's having a good season. They're only 3 points behind a team that's apparently having a great season.
Yes, yes.
So well done to both those sides.
Which under the radar probably isn't a bad thing for them.
Yes, that's right. Yes. And I think with that sort of squad and that style of football, it probably works. They're quite happy with that.
Mm. Well, Brisbane Strikers won the title under Frank Farina when they had that sort of under the radar.
Yeah,
sort of,
nobody really noticing because everyone was paying attention to all the Sydney teams. Mm. Then we've got Gold Coast United ahead of the Mariners, the Victory of the Heart, the Phoenix, the Glory, the Fury and the Jets who go head-to-head tomorrow night in the Bozzerless match and Sydney FC who got their first win of the season. Propping up the table. Serge Van Dijk leads the leading scorers chart with 5 goals ahead of Bruno Cazzarin, who netted twice for Sydney in Perth. And he's worked really hard, and I'm glad to see some goals finally going in for him. So he's got 4, so does Chris Greenacre, Paul Ifield, Robbie Cruz, Matthew Leckie, and David Williams.
I liked what Scott Condon said about Bruno. He said it wasn't the killer bees, it's the triple bee. It was Bruno the boarding Brazilian. I worked for Sydney this week, so.
That does kind of work.
Yeah.
Alliteration.
Yeah, very nice. He's obviously always been paying attention in English.
Yes. We did want to just touch on something that was on the website, on our site, during the week. It was posted just a couple of days ago, on the 24th of October, so it's still relatively fresh on the site if you want to go to it. It's A-League Idol, and what if A-League clubs were singers or bands? What acts would they be? We threw some ideas out there, sort of saying, like Brisbane Roar, would they be Mumford & Sons? Little Lion Men who've made their way to the top, but no one knows if they're really meant to be there. Gold Coast United, they'd be the Arctic Monkeys. There's plenty of hype. The first album was a cracker, but the fans don't come anymore. The Newcastle Jets, the Backstreet Boys, they're back! But they were never actually gone in the first place. They're family-friendly and eagerly to please. I like this one, the Central Coast Mariners. Has Vinnie Jones ever written any songs? That was quite good. Yeah. Wellington Phoenix, Crowded House, a tiny little New Zealand outfit who we've let into our own backyard. They're nice to watch and they've got plenty of fans.
Yeah, cool.
And my favourite of all these was the North Queensland Fury. Lady Gaga. It took a little while for people to warm to them, but can be fantastic to watch on their day, if only we weren't so thrown by what they're wearing. Which is great. So Scott Condon wrote that article on the site. Check it out.
A little quick side note on the Furies uniform. Who was that side in the World Cup who had really good lime green and white shirts? Was it Slovenia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you say that was really good?
Well, it was nice. It was nicer than what the Fury have at the moment.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I didn't think Slovenia had a cracker of a kit, I'll be honest.
All right, continue.
Yes. We then got a lot of tweets from people who read that article and would like to submit their own suggestions for what A-League clubs, bands they would be. We had James Walker. He wrote, Sydney FC would be Radiohead. They're inexplicably popular with the press, beloved by pretentious twats, but actually quite shit, and I agree with that 100%.
Well, in the Sydney FC or the Radiohead sort of thing? Or quite, or both?
More Radiohead, yeah. I just think they're really boring and overrated. Lewis, I probably apologise in advance for any mispronounced names.
Pronunciation?
Lewis Ponentis? I'm going to go with Ponentis. Okay, yeah, okay. I'm going to back myself there.
Very nice, go for it.
He said Newcastle are like any big international act because they can't play in Adelaide, which is a very, very good shout. Mm-hmm. Vossi7 tweeted and said Perth Glory would be Miley Cyrus. They look good until they perform, which is a terrific one. Yes, yes. And Jimmy Stagger wrote Gold Coast would be American Idol, an American Idol winner. There's lots of hype, and they only sell 573 copies of their album. Vossi7 also tweeted in, I should say, that Melbourne Victory would be Justin Bieber because you'd do anything to punch them in the face. All valid shouts.
I think so. I think so.
We should mention also, on the topic of Sydney FC, mm-hmm. that, their competition is up and running again with us.
Very exciting times.
This week.
Yes. If you want to, all you got to do to win tickets to the Sydney FC home match, their next home match, just go to our site, click on win, and fill in, the form, which all you have to do is, make a prediction of their match against Brisbane Roar this week. So put down Brisbane 8, Sydney FC 0, and you'll have, 2 tickets in your hand for Sydney's next match next week.
If it is
8-0, yes.
PSV Eindhoven 10, final 0. How was that?
Incredible. Yeah. How did that happen?
2-0 at half time.
Who saw it coming? It was
unbelievable. Well, I don't think anybody saw it coming. Yeah.
If anyone put a bet down for 10-0 on that match,
yeah,
genius.
That was incredible. So I'm glad we mentioned that before the end of the show.
That is.
We should also thank Betfair.
Of course.
Go to our site, click on the Betfair link, open up a $30 account, and they'll give you $50 to bet on anything you want, which is great.
Right. And yeah.
You
awesome.
Literally can't lose.
You've got the Spring Race Carnival coming up too, soon. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, you can use money on that if you wanted to.
Oh, the Melbourne Cup next week.
Two weeks. You want free $50 for Melbourne Cup?
Yep.
There it is right there.
Yeah, a lot of people say, well, I've got a tip. If I had $50, I'd bet $50 of your money. Well, bet $50 of Betfair's money.
Yep, and if you win, all yours.
It's all yours. Yes. And if you lose, you don't owe them squat.
Yep.
You've still got your original $30 that you put in there. apologies. Footyfansdownunder.com. We should also mention them because mm-hmm. next weekend they're having their Soccer AM get together in Sydney. Go to footyfansdownunder.com and check that out if you're interested, mm-hmm. Which should be a lot of fun.
Matty G and I will be there. So,
okay.
Yeah, even more exciting than Soccer AM is Meet the Football Sack. There we go.
Yes. We should wrap it up for today's show because we're just about out of time, but we'll be back on either Thursday or Friday. Is it going to be Thursday or Friday?
It will be Thursday.
It will be Thursday this week, and we promise we'll do it.
We promise.
We promise. And we will be reviewing the Jets match against the Fury, where Bozza, by that stage, probably won't be allowed in the stadium. Mm-hmm. neither will either of the teams.
They'll be deported back to wherever.
That's right. The
from.
Fans will come and watch a PlayStation game. And we'll be looking ahead to the weekend's games. Thank you, the listeners, for tuning in once again and making us the number one A-League podcast on iTunes. And we will see you in a couple of days' time. Take care.